here is this question: how can I be filled with the Spirit? Now, we've seen already why you'd want to be, because the Spirit gives guidance, energy, gifts, grace is life. Zechariah was filled with the Spirit, so was his wife Elizabeth. She was filled with the Spirit, and so she knew who Mary was, and she knew who Mary's baby was. The Spirit convicts of sin, righteousness, and the judgment to come. If you are not a Christian, you maybe watch this online or whatever, or you're here. We pray for you to be filled with the Spirit so you would see your need of Christ. And you get filled with the Spirit when you repent and are baptized. Acts 2:38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise, that is the covenant, is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." That's for those of you who are not Christian. You need to be filled with God's Spirit. You need to seek God. For you and for your family, and for all around you and all whom you love. But for those of us who are Christians, Ephesians 5:18 has a very sober word for us. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Incidentally, that's how our praise improves. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm just going to list these principles if you want to be filled with the Spirit. Number one, you ask. Luke 11:11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You can ask because he's promised. Number two, empty yourself. Hebrews, we are told, get rid of everything that hinders and entangles. How can you be filled with the Spirit if you are already full? I remember a group of us going to stay in someone's apartment in Glasgow, and it was late at night and we were hungry, and we stopped off at a fish and chip shop and just got some fish and chips, as you do at 10 o'clock at night. And we arrived at midnight, and as we walked up the stairs, we smelt bacon being cooked, a wonderful smell. We went in, this woman had prepared a marvelous feast, and one or two managed it, the rest of us didn't. That's like us. We fill ourselves with junk food, spiritually speaking. We fill up our lives, we fill up our minds, we fill up our hearts. We've no room for the Spirit. So sometimes there are things that hinder. Third principle, you ask, you empty, you listen. The Spirit speaks through the Word. You read the Word, you meditate on the Word, you take time with the Word. Never divide Word and Spirit. There are some people who say, well, we teach the Bible, and they seem not to believe in the Holy Spirit. And then there are other people who go, oh, we're full of the Spirit, and the Bible's almost irrelevant to them, except as an illustration. Whereas the Spirit takes the Word and applies it to us. That's exactly what's happened here. Look at this marvelous song that is a result of the Spirit at work through Zechariah's learning of the Scriptures. Number four, we obey. There's a great old book, Keep in Step with the Spirit by J.I. Packer. Brilliant book. He's just citing Galatians 5:25. Keep in step with the Spirit. Walk with the Spirit. Let me ask a very good question. How are you getting on? How's your walk? We say the walk with the Lord. How are you keeping in step with the Spirit? A lot of us are well out of step. Number five, do not grieve the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And how do we grieve the Spirit? Listen to this. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Sometimes there's a blockage in a church, and the blockage exists because people are espousing or proclaiming the gospel, but in their hearts and in their lives and in their actions and in their relationships, there's bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander. That grieves the Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It's an awesome thing. Number six, use spiritual weapons. That just comes from Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit, prayer, praying in the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the feet fitted with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, what Paul calls the full armor of God. You don't use worldly weapons to be filled with the Spirit to fight Christ's battles. You use spiritual weapons. And the last one is simply this: communion. Communion is not just a symbol. That's an enormous mistake. Sure, it's not what the Catholics say, literally feeding on the body and blood of Christ. That's a mistake as well. But it's a mistake to go the opposite way and say it's just a symbol, because at the Lord's table we are sitting there and he is feeding us. My mother would say sometimes, oh, they could do with a bacon sandwich. It was a kind of cure-all for everything almost. But yes, actually, when you're tired and weary and hungry, you know what helps? A shower, some rest, some good food, including bacon sandwiches. And that's what God does with us in communion, isn't it? He sits us at his table, he's present with us, and he feeds us. I know in my own life, not always, but many times, I've gone to communion and sat down weary, worn, and sad, and risen up strengthened and renewed and enabled. Ask, empty, listen, obey, do not grieve. Use spiritual weapons. Feast at the table of the Lord.